T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on hour number two. This is ESPN Upstate. I am Rob. He is Lonzo. You are you and listening to the show. Thanks for hanging out with us here on a beautiful Upstate Friday afternoon. It is glorious outside, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a good day for hockey. Swamp Rabbits coming up tonight. Eastern Conference Finals. They lose game one, 5-1, but it is not the end of the world. Listen, throughout the year, the Rabbits had a number of games where they put up 6-7, a couple of times put a snowman up. It's not over. Far from over. It's just one game. Now, the bad news for the Swamp Rabbits is that because of the L in game one, they will need to win, I think, both home games, tonight and tomorrow. And then, obviously, they will need to take one of the final two on the road at Charleston, which will not be easy. South Carolina plays very well at home, but they have been defeated by the Rabbits in Charleston, so it is absolutely still a possibility. A couple of other things I wanted to get to on the show today. One of those, of course, is the U.S. Open out at Torrey Pines. Yesterday's first round had to be suspended. Here's what I love about this, Lonzo. They had to suspend yesterday's first round due to darkness. Do you know what time they finally suspended play last night?
No, what time?
8:58 p.m.
Must be summer.
8:58 p.m. was when they suspended play. Y'all, that's insanity, okay? Anyway, leaderboard right now, very interesting one as it stands through the first round. Our leader right now, Russell Henley, is your clubhouse leader. He is awaiting his tee time, which is actually now. He should be going off any second. Now, Russell Henley is 4 under after an opening round 67 out at Torrey Pines. Richard Bland, the Englishman, is tied up with the South African, Louis Oosthuizen, Dylan Wu of the United States, Francesco Molinari from Italy, and Spain's Rafa Cabrera Bello are all at 3 under. Bland is 2 under on today through 10. He shot a 2 under yesterday. Oosthuizen is 1 over yesterday, but he is 3 under through 7 so far. One over today, but 3 under through 7 today. And looks very, very good doing so. 3 under on the tournament. Let's see who else. Brooks Koepka, 2 under 69 yesterday and is getting started off at 114. Xander Schauffele is 2 under as well. And they are going to be going out in just a couple of minutes from right now. Patrick Reed, 1 under. Patrick Cantlay, 1 under. Matt Fitzpatrick is 1 under. Charles Schwartzel, Bryson DeChambeau, Bubba Watson, Kevin Steelman, all at even. Grayson Sigg had himself a great front nine yesterday, but the wheels came off a little bit down the stretch, so he brought himself back down to even on the day. All of those guys getting set to go off over the course of the next handful of minutes. The tee times did get pushed back because the suspended round one had to be finished up earlier this morning before they ran it back and sent the guys out for round two. Lee Westwood, Stewart Cink, Sergio Garcia, Rory McIlroy all at one over. Harris English, Tommy Fleetwood, Zoe's favorite golfer at one under, one over as well. Hideki Matsuyama, your Masters champ, he is plus two on the tournament so far. Justin Thomas, plus two. Matt Kuchar is plus two. Adam Scott, plus three. Dustin Johnson, plus three. Had a run at the Palmetto Championship at Congaree last weekend, but just could not get it done. He is struggling so far. Shot par yesterday, but three over on the day makes him three over for the tournament. Billy Horschel is three over. So is Tony Finau. Ian Poulter is three over as well. Jordan Spieth and Zach Johnson, both plus four, as is Colin Morikawa and Phil Mickelson, who shot a plus 475 yesterday. The only guaranteed bet that I made in this tournament so far, though, was to take the field versus Mickelson. Mickelson's not winning this tournament. I love the guy. Hitting bombs, man. Love Phil Mickelson. But this is not his tournament and not his course. He is plus four. Will Zalatoris, the hero from the Masters, is at plus five. And that's pretty much the end of the big names for the most part. Kevin Na is plus six. And I think that's about Webb Simpson is plus eight. That's awful. Justin Rose, plus 11 on the tournament. So you can probably go ahead and mark today as his final round as well. There's your U.S. Open leaderboard as it stands right now. A couple of other stories that I wanted to get into is, and Zoe, we haven't really addressed this all this much, but this Aaron Rodgers situation that continues to play out. So last week, the owner of the Packers put out a newsletter, email. I don't really know what to call it. But anyway, put out we'll call it an email to Packers fans that said that he was sad about the way it was going with Rodgers because he was, and I quote, dividing the fan base. Mark Murphy is the president of the Packers, and he said that Aaron Rodgers is dividing the fan base. Lonzo, let me respond to that in the most eloquent, thought-out way that I can. No, he's not. You are. Okay, that's it. There's a hot take express, Lonzo.
I do think you nailed it.
Yeah. Dominique Foxworth agrees with me, too. Former NFL players, what Foxworth had to say about this whole story and how stupid it is.
The situation we face with Aaron Rodgers has divided our fan base. The emails and letters that I've received reflect this fact. As I wrote here last month, we remain committed to resolving things with Aaron, want him to be our quarterback in 2021 and beyond. We are working to resolve the situation and realize that the less both sides say publicly, the better. He said that, again, Dominique Foxworth, in his monthly column. So what question immediately jumps to your mind?
A, why the hell does Mark Murphy have a monthly column? Like, who cares? And also, I mean, can we do a FOIA request on his emails? Because I'm pretty sure that there is nobody emailing him angry about Aaron Rodgers. There is no divide. There's no fans who are like, we don't want Aaron back. Like, he's trying to create this this friction that doesn't exist, and it seems like maybe it's not intentional, but it feels kind of intentional, like he's trying to vilify Aaron Rodgers in this situation. And maybe Aaron deserves it, but it's a weird thing to do because it seems so obvious where he's saying he's dividing our fan base. Calling someone divisive is not a compliment. And suggesting that there is anyone in within 1,000 miles of Green Bay, Wisconsin, that roots for the Packers that doesn't want Aaron Rodgers back, suggesting that to me sounds absurd. I need to see these emails and letters immediately.
Dominique Rob Brown Foxworth checking in, ladies and gentlemen. Zoe, nail, meet hammer, because he hit it on the head, man. That is a really bad take. There are zero Packers fans anywhere that have woken up in the last week and gone, you know what? I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers, and I hope he doesn't come back. There's none. There's not a single one.
Well, who knows? Maybe someone in the listening audience is a there are a lot of Packers fans here. Maybe someone out there wants to see Aaron Rodgers go elsewhere. Maybe someone out there thinks that he's bad for the team after the year he just had. It could be someone out there. It's possible.
Yes. The 2020 NFL MVP is bad for the team. I'm sure there is a radio host somewhere in Green Bay that has gone full Hot Take Express and is the conductor of the troll machine who is saying, guys, let's be honest here. This team is good enough to win without Aaron Rodgers, and he's bringing the fit. No, he's not. No, he's not. You're dumb if you say it, all right? You're dumb if you say it.
Was that your Green Bay accent?
Okay, Aaron Rodgers is really breaking the team in half, don't you know? Now bring me some cheese curds. That I just evolved into the super fans from SNL.
You went waiting for it. The Bears.
Who would win in a fight, Zoe? Who would win in a fight? A hurricane or Coach Dicka?
I'd have to go with Dicka.
Now, wait. Trick question. What if the hurricane's name was Hurricane Dicka? Oh, that's a tough question there, Bob. That's a tough question.
The sad part is I had to do it loud enough for it to be heard by the mic, and it kind of hurt.
Aaron Rodgers is just a troll, don't you know? And the only reason he's here in Wisconsin, it's because he's good at football. Fake sports talk radio show host in Green Bay that I just made up.
He's a great, exceptional, all time at football.
Correct. And what a dumb thing for Mark Murphy to say. What an absolutely outlandish, ridiculous, stupid thing. There are no fans. It's one of those times, there is nothing I want more, Lonzo, when somebody comes out and goes, many people are saying, or I am getting plenty of emails that say, well then show me. When I hear somebody go, many people are telling me, I'm like, cool, name five of the many people, because they're not. If you hear somebody say, many people are saying, or I'm getting emails that say, then ask them to prove it, because otherwise, they're just telling you their opinion, and they know it's unpopular. All right? That's how that game works. I've been in the business of language a long time, y'all. That's how communications works. All right, let's run out to a break. When we come back, Dallas J is the goalkeeper for the Greenville Triumph. We had to push our regular Wednesday segment to Thursday because of the match on Wednesday night. And then, of course, we had a little issue yesterday. The team had practice during our show yesterday, Lonzo, and apparently practice is more important than talking to me. Unbelievable. So we'll make up for that with Dallas J next on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Rob Brown Show's Back on Your Radio. This is ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown. Lonzo back in the network studio. To the phone lines we go. And welcome in the starting goalkeeper for your reigning, defending, undisputed Greenville Triumph. He is the great Dallas J. Back on the Rob Brown Show. Dallas, dude, have you taken a nap since your trip around the world, man?
I mean, I'll be honest. I've been catching a few cat naps here and there. The jet lag has been it's been something to deal with, but been able to manage it, fortunately, these last few days because we've been in a heck of a stretch, as you know.
Yeah, man, and I want to talk about that. 3 matches in 7 days, but I want to talk about the trip that you went through to make it back for that North Texas game. So you had a friendly. A qualifier in that was scheduled to be in China, ended up being moved to the Middle East. So you had to fly from here to L.A. to, and tell me if I get this wrong, here to L.A., L.A. to China, China to the Middle East back to the States, and then rush over to Texas to make that matchup. You literally went around the world in order to be there for that Sunday match against North Texas. Legit, man. Like, what kind of impact did that have on you? Because I can't imagine that didn't take a little energy out of you.
Yeah, no, it was a whirlwind of a trip. I want to say it was about 16 days all told, and it started with travel through the U.S. that took me to California. I was in California for a day and a half to go through COVID testing protocols just to get into China. Arrived in China. Was there for 4 days. We had one game there, and then everything got flipped on its head. Some of the teams that were supposed to be there as well could not get into China, as well as 5 of our own players for Guam. So FIFA and AFC, the Asian Football Confederation, decided to move everything. They moved us and the Chinese team out of China, took us to Dubai, played the following 2 games in Dubai over the course of 6 or 7 days. Played on July 11th. It was the final game there. Hopped on a plane the morning of July 12th in Dubai. Direct flight to Dallas, Texas. I actually landed within 40 minutes of the team, which was pretty crazy. So I landed in Dallas, went through customs, did all that, and hopped on the team bus and went to the team hotel in Dallas, Texas. And we were on the field 24 hours later. So a whirlwind of a trip. The travel, I think I was fortunate. It was a direct flight coming back. It was about a 14-hour flight, but had my own row, was able to lay down and stretch out, which was big. And, we stepped out on the field in Dallas, and I think for me it was like middle of the day. So or maybe even morning time with the time change. So I was actually feeling pretty good for that match. Obviously, it was a tough day for the team, but, you know, we were able to come home, bounce back, and we're for me, it's just getting back into the swing of things.
Dallas J, goalkeeper for your Greenville Triumph here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. So I do want to ask you, because this is something obviously I don't think many people in the Upstate outside of you and John Harkes can answer. Getting the opportunity to put on the flag and play in those international matches while also being a starting keeper in USL League One, and there's a handful of guys around USL League One that are also playing for their international sides. What's it like for you standing in goal for the Guam international side as for you personally, and then getting to do that and also build the legacy that you're building here in Greenville?
It's a special thing. It really is. You know, for me, the way I'm eligible to play with Guam is my mom's whole side of the family's from the island. My grandmother's from there. So to get to represent my family, represent the island, represent Greenville Triumph when I go on these trips, it's such a big thing for me. And the cool part about those games is, when you play these international matches, it really soccer transcends borders and cultures and it's the coming together of people that may not come together in normal situations. I mean, just on this most recent trip, we played against the Syrian national team. And from a diplomatic, political standpoint, the U.S. and Syria, I mean, we've taken a team into Iran and played a match. Places, you know, that the Americans maybe wouldn't normally go, but you get to see how the game of soccer can literally bring the world together. So it's always a special thing. And, you know, just the little nuances that come with it—the national anthem and putting on the badge and the flag. Those things are special. They're really second to none. And I mean, the first match we played while I was over there was against the Chinese national team in China. 30,000 people, sold out stadium. So, you know, if you're put in situations you don't normally see in League One. So to kind of get to use those to come back here and help the club, help the team succeed. It all kind of ties together and comes together, which is pretty awesome.
But you're straight away, 24 hours later, suited up in goal. But as you mentioned, not the ideal result. A 3-0 loss on the road at North Texas. It is not the first loss that Greenville has taken, obviously. But I think this one was unique because, obviously, we had Dallas J getting a literal around-the-world trip. It is the first match back after 3 weeks of vacation, or I say vacation, 3 weeks off. You know you've got then another stretch of four games in 11 days coming up after that. What was the mindset going into that game? And did you notice anything different after that loss as you guys were gearing up for a North Carolina test just a few days later?
Yeah, it was, a tough game. In the start for it was, I think, the biggest thing that we took. We didn't start the game well, and it was just became an uphill battle, dug ourselves a hole that we ultimately in that match couldn't get ourselves out of. And I think part of it has to do with the break in matches that we had. I think we had a great bit of momentum through, I want to say it was the first five games of the year when we then had the break. It was unfortunate that we almost had that break. We were on a good run. We had some momentum and kind of maybe cooled us off a little bit going into that game. But, first loss of the season, we only experienced a handful of losses last year. So it's one of those feelings for guys at this club that is unusual, when you lose a game. It's not somewhere you're used to. And I think that's a good thing. We take it personally and we'll after that game, guys were wearing it a little bit. They were pretty disappointed, not just with the result. Those results will happen. But for us, we're a performance team. We know if we perform out on the field, results will take care of themselves. And we were just disappointed with the performance we put in. So everything going into North Carolina this week was correcting, some of those mistakes, some of the performance things. And it's not a Band-Aid that's going to fix everything. So, we come out against North Carolina this week. And what I wouldn't call a slow start, I thought we started the match better. We had more energy. We dictated the game a lot. But we had a moment where we conceded, what we all considered to be a goal that we shouldn't concede. So, another thing we want to correct, we don't want to be giving up goals in the first 10, 15 minutes of games. And that's happened the last two matches. So something we're trying to nip in the bud now. But definitely a more complete performance this past week and this past Wednesday. And you talk about going down a man with 25 minutes left, a situation we've been in this season. We've been down a man and been able to get a result. So it says a lot about the team and the character and the grit that we have to pull out results and wins when, things aren't always going your way. And that was the case against North Carolina. They're a tough young group, and we were still able to get the job done.
Yeah, so going back, and I watched that game live, and then I watched the replay of it again yesterday to get a feel for it, Dallas. Look, you guys have, and I've talked about this with you on the air, with Harks on the air, you guys have a flow and a momentum that when you're in your zone that I think many teams wish that they could accomplish. And in that North Carolina game, it almost felt to me like you guys coming off of the loss to Texas were really trying to find yourselves again. And then once that first goal was conceded, it kind of felt like play opened up a little bit, like there was almost a let's get back to us attitude. And then once Don Smart netted the equalizer heading towards halftime, then it felt like, to me anyway, like there was a breath of relief that came out of you guys. Okay, we know that this is what we do. Let's go out there and do it. You come back, you get the second goal, the game winner. It felt like it was all, I don't want to say a tale of two halves. It's almost too dramatic, but it just felt like you guys got yourselves back. I saw you in goal. There were some spots where you were really kind of field generaling the back line and getting after them a little bit. And then that kind of seemed to flow into an easier pace of play in the second half. Did it feel that way to you from the back?
Yeah, it was a game where obviously, you can see the early goal. The one thing I love about this group is for a lot of teams, you do that for the second week in a row, and it could be, things could really fray from that. And for us, it was, there's no reason to hit the panic button. We know who we are. We know what we're trying to do on the day. Yes, we had a bad moment, but the thing about this group is I think we always have confidence that we're gonna find one on the other end, and we're gonna keep ourselves in the game. You talk about this North Carolina game. We had a couple younger guys haven't played a lot of minutes this season, rotating in, a couple guys changing spots, filling in for some injuries and things like that. And that's such a big thing for us right now, especially in this stretch of games where, we need to rotate players. We need to, it's next man up mentality. And we have such a deep roster where we have guys who can fill in and do the job all day long. So I think, we maintained ourselves in that first half, capitalized towards the end of the half to go 1-1 into halftime. And I think it's always going to be a boost when you score a goal, especially when you're down, when you can equalize like that. But the key moment for me in that game was how we started the second half, which was a difficult thing for us against North Texas. We gave up a very early goal in the second half of that game. And that really kind of takes the wind out of your sails when you go in at halftime and you try to formulate the plan to get yourself back in the game. So we come out in the second half against North Carolina, and I think we scored within, 3 or 4 minutes of the half starting. And from there, it was, that kind of swagger that you typically see the Greenville Tribe was very much there. And adversity threw it with a red card or a second yellow, which questionable in some ways. But there was never a moment of doubt after that we couldn't pull this thing off. It was always confidence. It was like, all right, we got a little bit more work to do. This is gonna be a little harder than we thought, but we were confident and we were able to get the job done.
Dallas J, goalkeeper for your Greenville Triumph here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. I want to ask you a question, Dallas, that and this is probably a question that would be a little better pointed toward guys like Marios and Don, but your perspective from a locker room when there is, and I don't think I've had conversation with some of the folks that were at the game in the supporter section, and the approval rating for the officiating in this past game was not high. All right, we'll just put it that way. Not a lot of fans earned by the referee in that game. When there is a game that tends to get away from the official a little bit, as it felt like that one did at points, and there have been others earlier in the season that felt the same way, does it change the way you guys approach the game when there's an official who is maybe missing calls or not giving calls you'd want or letting the game get a little more chippy than we like? Do you guys change the way you attack the game, or do you just kind of have to try to say, guys, we got to fight through this?
I think it's a bit of both. I think, there's a level of savvy and professionalism and experience that comes with that. And we're fortunate that we have a lot of that on this team. And it's the ability to recognize, okay, maybe this referee is calling a little bit of a tighter game, or maybe this referee is a little bit looser and letting guys get into each other a little bit and letting it be a little bit more physical. And referees are human. It's gonna change from match to match. As players have tough days on the field, referees still have tough days on the field. It's just kind of part of it. And I think what players always want to see, coaches want to see, and fans want to see is just a consistency. You want to know exactly what type of ref you have on the day. And in that match in particular, it was chippy. There's always gonna be a lot going on, but it's the players, the team, the staff who can keep their head, cooler heads prevail and see past that part of the game and really just focus on executing what you do and what you can control. And that's one of the things that's out of your control. You can adjust to it, you can adapt to it, but you honing in on what you can focus on. I think that was big for us in the second half. It would have been easy to really just focus our attention on the referee later in the second half, especially after the red card, but it was kind of like, screw it, that happened. We know who we are. Let's get on with our business and take care of the job.
Dallas J, Greenville Triumph goaltender, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. So now we look ahead, weekend match on the road, turn around another weekday game back at Legacy Early next Wednesday. One of the things that I've noticed in sports, especially sports that are kind of typically more drawn out between matches like soccer is, Dallas, is for some teams when you've got 3 games in 7 days and the two homes sandwich in away games. So not only do you have 3 in 7 days, but you got a couple of travel days in the middle. It can tend to get to a point for some teams where they begin to blend matches together. They start looking ahead to certain matches, or tactics you would use, let's say, against Tormenta might blend into what you would want to do against Ford Madison. How are you guys attacking a very quick stretch of games? Four games in 11 days, three in a week, including two at home with a road wedged in the middle. How do you guys attack when you have a really busy part of the schedule like the next upcoming week?
Yeah, it's really all about, obviously, you know, the cliche of just the next match, you know, go 1-0 and that sort of thing. So going into North Carolina, there wasn't a whole lot of looking past North Carolina to Tormenta. It really does you no good to do that. So all the focus was there on North Carolina, but the turnaround times become quicker. So, our usual cadence of training, watching film on North Carolina to review that game, and then watching film on Tormenta prepare for them, everything gets kind of squished together and you got to do it quicker. But I think the biggest thing for players is really just the recovery piece of everything. And we're super fortunate here at our club that we have a ton of great partners in the community that help us with that. We have Upstate Spine and Sport Chiropractic that had some of their staff in working on players. We have a massage therapist that has been in twice this week to help guys get their bodies back, get their legs back. Frigid cryotherapy guys have been using a ton this week to help get the bodies back. So it's busy. The schedule is definitely busy because it's not just training, it's scheduling all these appointments and things to get the body recovered. But we're lucky that we have all these options. And I think guys, you know, they come in there, you're going to be a little bit sore during the stretch of games. The staff do a great job of managing the minutes of players, rotating players. So it's really the 11 that step out of Tormenta, give everything you have for as long as you can. We got guys who can come off the bench and finish the job. And then, you know, once that's done, we'll regroup and, you know, watch film on that briefly, but then the focus will turn to Madison. So I think we're lucky that we're doing this in quick succession right now because it's a schedule we're getting used to at the moment. So we'll do it for the next 2 weeks, and then we'll kind of come up for air after that and assess where things are at.
All right, Dallas, a couple more questions, and we'll let you get back to it. First and foremost, in those home matches, I mean, look, it's I don't care what level you're at, NHL all the way down, Major League Baseball, NFL, weekday games, 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night. It is tough to get people out, but felt like Legacy early really had a vibe, a bit of energy to it on Wednesday night. Have you felt so far this season as we kind of slowly work our way day by day back from COVID protocols, have you felt like Legacy early has gone back to being the home field advantage that we know it is and could be?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It gets loud in there, and it has been even on the Wednesday night game. I didn't see it as any different as a Saturday, which is great. Huge credit to, it's a huge credit to our front office and all the, you know, all the marketing, all the everything they're doing in the community to get people excited about the team and coming out to games, but also obviously to the supporters and the Reedy River Riot and everything they do. Because, I mean, the first half, I was on the Reedy River Riot side. I was in front of them, and I mean, I'm having to yell my lungs out just to get information to the center backs in front of me because of, you know, all the noise they're making, which is great. That's exactly how we want it. And, you know, they create that home field advantage. They're going to wind up opposing players, you know, always in good fun and good nature. But it plays a big role. And, you know, I think about going on the road this weekend. We go to a Tormenta. Interesting thing about their field is everything is very close. The fans are kind of right behind you on the opposing end. But another place where we love playing because it's a good rivalry. We've played them a lot over the last 2.5 years now. And kind of have a great rapport with their fans. They'll get after me during the game, but it's always, you know, handshakes, laughs, and that sort of thing after. Feels a bit better when we win, obviously. So we're going there to get the 3 points. But, you know, you talk about the fans and the environment they can create. It's such a special thing in League One and Greenville especially.
All right, Dallas J, last question, very important one. It is one that we had a topic on the show, and it took over like half an hour of my show. When you, here in the Upstate, order a hot dog, Dallas J, what do you expect to come on it?
Wow.
Yeah, it seems like it's almost a trick question, and I'll explain why. But if you order a hot dog, what do you, Dallas J, expect to come on it?
A hot dog that I enjoy is strictly coming with mustard, but I can understand why it may be. So I played two seasons in Cincinnati, was there under John, and the big thing there is Skyline Chili, and Skyline Chili is always on the hot dog. So that was something I don't. Is there something unique here in the Upstate that comes on hot dogs that I'm missing?
I have been informed. I have been informed by the girlfriend, who, by the way, is quite upset with your decision to get the haircut. We'll address that in just a second. But that here in the Upstate, Dallas, a hot dog ordered default comes with chili, mustard, and onions on it. Like, that's, if you order a hot dog, you're getting chili, mustard, and onions. And I've now had two restaurant owners reach out to me and tell me that is correct. A hot dog in the Upstate is chili, mustard, and onions. If you don't want chili, you have to say hot dog, no chili. And that blew my mind, Dallas.
Wow. Now I was not privy to that. I can tell you that. Maybe I'm not out here ordering a lot of hot dogs, but that's good to know. I'm going to have to try it. It sounds good.
I mean, I'm down. I'm down. We'll do a Triumph hot dog day, I guess. And yes, I have been told I'll be in trouble. Have you regretted cutting the hair yet, Dallas J?
I'll be honest. It's I did it on Tuesday. Had the appointment scheduled before I left on that trip. That appointment's been scheduled for about a month and a half. I knew when I was coming back from the Asia trip, it was something I wanted to do. I actually had one scheduled about 2 months ago, and I got cold feet at the last second and ended up not doing it. But for me, it was time. I'll be honest, playing in the game, it felt pretty nice not having to worry about it and have it, as a stressor. It's a lot more low maintenance now, and I know it's disappointed a few, but I'm happy with it. I'm happy
Dallas
with it. It was
J
fine. It was a good run. It was a good run.
By the way, this music is for the hair loss.
The loss of hair, yes. Zoe
sad
is quite
violins.
Disappointed as well.
So disappointed.
The great Dallas J, goalkeeper for your Greenville Triumph here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN. I say, Dallas, my man, appreciate it, brother. Good luck on the road this weekend. We will see you back home on Wednesday, partner.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate you. Take
always,
care.
Always, Dallas J joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. RIP to the lettuce. We hardly knew ye. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show. It's ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. I don't know why it is that you guys are coming at me after Dallas J's hair. It wasn't my decision for him to get a haircut, like at all. So, get off me, dog. And did you think for a second I wasn't going to ask Dallas J about his hot dog preferences? Did you think for a second that wasn't going to come up? Every guest we have on next week is going to be asked the hot dog question as well. Rashad's going to get the hot dog question. Savannah Lee's going to get the hot dog question. Whoever we have from the Triumph next week's going to get the hot dog question. Andrew Lord of the Swamp Rabbits is going to get the hot dog question. Everybody's going to get the hot dog question.
Well, let me just speak for the natives who would say, yeah, but they're not from here, so they don't get it.
I guess that's my point.
Yeah,
right?
That's absolutely the point.
This is specifically, and now is it a South Carolina thing or is it an Upstate thing? That'd be my next question. Is this a South Carolina? Like, if I take the lady friend to Charleston and she orders a hot dog, is she also going to be disappointed by the wiener there?
Yeah, but from what I understand, Charleston is a country unto itself.
It really
is. Yeah,
it really. People from Charleston are very proud to be from Charleston.
Yeah, I haven't been there.
Beautiful city.
Yeah, well,
beautiful city. I love Charleston.
Sounds expensive.
Yes, but it's worth it. It's worth a one-time trip. It's a beautiful city. All right, 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. Ingles Market text line open for you. It's 71307 as well, 71307 as well. Hot dogs in Greenville should be ordered just the same as what Zion should do if he gets himself out of NOLA. Go all the way. God dog it. Are you kidding me, Texter? Come on, man. I am sensitive right now. And you're just taking low blows like that. Unbelievable. Listeners have no regard for my emotional well-being, Lonzo. No regard for my emotional well-being at all. I am vulnerable. I am sensitive. And you're just taking, you're just Olympic slamming me into the concrete like that.
Yeah, and if you're looking on the stream, disregard the smile on his face. He really is hurt on the inside.
I am. I smile through the pain, Lonzo. I saw that on one of those cat motivational pictures one day, and now it's a motto. It's a life motto. Quick break. Got to come back to wrap up the hour after this. Rob Lonzo, you. It's ESPN Upset, you jerks. Stathaga says, it's like I once told Mark, we listen to you because you know more than us about sports, but when it comes to bread and butter topics, we all get to act like experts. Fine by me. All right, coming up in the next hour of the show, College World Series, I'll give you a leaderboard update at the U.S. Open, and FIFA has, shockingly enough, actually done something right. They have done something right. I'm going to tell you what that is coming up in the next segment as well. Plus, Zoe and I will expand our thoughts on Hell in a Cell coming up on Sunday. We gave you some predictions yesterday. We'll follow up on those today. And Christian McCaffrey has now become one of my favorite players, hashtag online, because he murdered Scott Frost on Twitter earlier this week, and it was incredible. It was incredible. He just demolished Scott Frost, and I was 100% here for it. So I'm going to tell you what Run CMC had to say on Twitter that made Scott Frost have to tuck his tail and run. It was absolutely beautiful. Plus, we will maybe put our hot dog conversation to bed officially. I feel like you guys have spoken loudly with one voice and one voice alone to correct me on the hot dog discussion. Lonzo shakes his head in disgust.
Don't you bend that easy, Rob Brown. Don't you do it.
I mean, look, I can't.
Stand steadfast like a tree, man. Like a mighty oak.
I can't stop the people, though. I can't stop the people from doing what they do in their own home state. You know what I'm saying?
A mighty oak would stop the people.
Next Friday, we will start Fanboy Friday. We'll have a, maybe, fingers crossed, bumper and everything for it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.